All right. Hello, everybody, fellow Antler Queens. I am Media Melanie here with...
I'm Kelly Geist. Hey, everyone.
And we are here with a very special episode of the Antler Queens today. You know, with all of the buzz of Comic-Con going on right now, we figured, you know what? Why not have our own Yellow Jackets fan panel and bring in some of the fans we've met on Facebook and, you know, around the socials and talk about some of these, you know, hot button topics that all the Yellow Jackets fans are discussing. So we've got some friends with us today, and yeah, we are going to bring them all on right now. We've got Kim, we've got Emily, we've got Maria, and we've got Elizabeth. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, so glad to have you guys.
We're so happy to be here.
So, yay. Why don't we, do you want to start with just maybe introducing themselves and answering our icebreaker question?
Yes. Kelly, refresh us. What is our icebreaker question for today?
Okay. So we'll just go around and we'll start with Kim and go through Emily, and we will, and then Melanie and I will go last, but we just introduce yourself, just quickly introduce yourselves, maybe throw out a social media handle or a website where people can find you if you want to. You don't have to. And our icebreaker question for this week is, name a character and what you think their superpower would be if they had one.
Ooh, such a good question.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Kim, you want to start?
Sure. So yeah, my name is Kim. I have three kids. I actually have a small YouTube channel called Nick's Big where I share a lot of like cooking type videos, totally different content than this, but it is out there. I'm also a high school humanities teacher, and I guess my character would be, I'm going to go with Javi, and I think his superpower would be invisibility.
Ooh.
Okay. I'm not a choice.
Like that.
Cool. Nice. Right. Elizabeth, what about you?
Sure. Before I do mine, are we allowed to swear?
Yes, you may swear. We welcome both swearing.
Okay, cool. Just wanted to make sure. So I'm Elizabeth McDuffie. I'm founding editor of the arts and literary journal Meat for Tea, the Valley Review, and that's MEATFORTEA. And we also have a podcast, the Meat for Tea Cast, and a chapbook press. And I'll pick Shauna, and I think... absolutely polite, and like she's saying thank you.
You know what, can you repeat your answer about Shauna? You kind of faded out there for a second.
Oh, sure. So I picked Shauna, and her superpower is saying fuck you and having it come out sounding absolutely polite and as though she's saying thank you.
I love that.
I like that. That's funny.
Awesome. Maria.
Hi, I'm Maria Szczepaniak-Lynn. I live in Houston, Texas. I'm a former engineer turned supply chain manager. I live in Houston with my husband and our dog and cat. I'm on Instagram at MSZCZ. And I just post my life and repost a lot of pop culture TV stuff. So I really love talking about all things TV, pop culture, and all that kind of stuff. So I'm loving being a part of this.
Yay.
And I'm going to choose the character Lottie. And I think her superpower would be that she can read thoughts, but particularly of like animals.
She can
with the animals in the forest and know what they're thinking they're going to do.
I like that.
Good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cool.
And, right, Emily.
Hi, my name's Emily Ahmed. I live in Largo, Florida, which is right near Tampa. I'm active on Facebook. It's just my name, Emily Ahmed. I'm super active in the Yellow Jackets Facebook group. I'm also on Instagram. My username is Jazz0201. And I'm a stay-at-home mom with my 2-year-old little boy. If I had to pick a character, I think I would choose Misty, and I would choose time travel because she was thriving in the wilderness and she absolutely loved being out there. And I think she would give anything to be back in that environment again.
Mm. Nice. Good one.
Yeah.
Melanie.
Ooh, you know what? I am going to go with Jackie and X-ray vision because I feel like when she is like looking at you with that like resting bitch face or like her dirty looks, like it's almost like she's like looking right through you. So I feel like Jackie, X-ray vision, like those eyes, just there's something about them. So yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. And I am going to go with Akila. And I feel like because of her, you know, her knowledge about mushrooms and everything and how well she sewed up Van's face, I'm going to go with supernatural healing.
Oh, that's cool.
Good one. Good one. Yeah. I like that. Well, we've broken the ice now, so that's fantastic. And, you know, one thing we wanted to mention to you before we get started is all the buzz with the Yellow Jackets Emmys right now. You know, we should give them a shout out, the show, the cast, everybody for all of their Emmy nominations. We have outstanding casting for a drama series. I mean, the casting is absolutely incredible. We all know this. We have Christina Ricci for outstanding supporting actress in a drama series. We have Yellow Jackets for outstanding drama series. We have Karen Kusama for outstanding directing of the pilot. We have outstanding writing for a drama series for F Sharp for Ashley Lyle, Bart Nickerson, and Jonathan Liskow. We have Queen Melanie Lynskey for outstanding lead actress in a drama series. And we have the Yellow Jackets pilot written by Ashley Lyle and Bart Nickerson for outstanding writing for a drama series. Like, I cannot wait for the Emmys. Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
It'll be the first time I've watched it in years.
Really? Same.
We should almost do like an IGTV, you know, like a live or something on Instagram and like, you know, I'll kind of talk about it or something. We'll see what happens when we get there. But anyway, this is just another testament as to how great a show Yellow Jackets is from top to bottom, from writing to casting to, you know, all of these different conspiracies and, you know, all the fan discussion. So we want to open it up. We are going to start with, let's start with Emily. And each fan has a couple of different topics to discuss. We're going to see, you know, how we're doing for time. And, you know, we encourage you, you know, watching or listening to, you know, chime in and comment or, you know, reach out to us if you'd like to join the discussion, join the Facebook group. We want to keep the conversation going. So with that, we will have Emily start and dive right in. Tell us what you want to talk about today, Emily.
Okay, well, my first topic would be the postcards. First of all, who sent them? Because we're still unsure of that. I've seen some people speculating that they think that Jeff sent them because they think it's tied to the blackmail, but I don't think that's the case. I don't think that Jeff is, not that he's dumb, but that's a little bit too clever for him to come up with on his own. And we know that Natalie, Thaisa, and Misty all received postcards for sure. We don't know about Shauna, because the only time we see Shauna with a postcard is when she goes to the motel to meet with Thaisa and Natalie. They tell her about the postcards, they show her. And when you see her next with the postcard, she's standing in her kitchen and she's holding a postcard that's folded. And the postcard that Natalie gave to her was folded as well. So I was under the assumption that Natalie, that she took Natalie's postcard and she kind of held on to it for safekeeping to like analyze it or whatever. But if Shauna didn't receive a postcard, why? Why didn't she? I think there's a couple possibilities as to why she didn't. Maybe she, for some reason, is in the cult's good graces and they didn't send her one for whatever reason. She could have received one and she could have been lying about it for some reason as well. And I've also seen another theory going around on Reddit that she did receive one, but it was intercepted by somebody else, which would either be Jeff or I'm thinking Callie. I think maybe Callie is holding on to it for safekeeping and she's going to utilize it to her advantage against her mom at a later time as a possibility.
Very interesting.
Yeah, the Cali connection. I never even considered that.
Yeah.
And also, how would the person have known where Natalie was to even send her the postcard? Because she
only
was
one
rehab.
Person knew where Taisa. She was.
Mm. Yes, yeah. Taisa. Exactly. So we know it's not Jeff, but I'm thinking you can't count Misty Quigley out. You can't count her out. I would not put that past her in the slightest, but what would she gain from sending them? And what would her angle be for sending them? Like, why?
Yeah. I have a thought on that, actually. I kind of subscribe to the Taisa being involved thing just because of Natalie being in rehab. But, I wonder if, I'm sure it was, if that's the case, I'm sure it was Taisa's idea, but I wonder if Jessica sent them with Taisa's direction and Misty somehow traced it back to her. And that's why she immediately started being suspicious of her.
Ooh, wow.
I like that.
The Jessica connection.
Yeah. I would have never thought of that.
Because we know that Jessica is like involved on a deeper level than we know of at this point. So that, she could have been involved with that.
Yeah, she died with a lot of secrets.
Yes. And also, why did Natalie show up at Misty's house with a gun, accusing her of sending the postcards? Like, there had to be something that happened that we have yet to see that would make her think that Misty was behind them.
Yep.
Because if Lottie was the sender, if Lottie is the sender, the cult sent the postcards, why was she not their first guess as to who sent them?
Yeah, right.
Like, do they know that she's still alive? Is there, like, did they leave her out there or did they think that she was dead? Because if she really is leading this cult, then why would she not be their first assumption as to where they came from?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, God, it's just, that's one of my biggest curiosities too. Natalie hadn't been back to New Jersey in quite some time and she went back specifically to hunt Misty down. Something happened.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think someone has that as a topic later on, right? Is that one of your topics, Kelly? No. About maybe what, or somebody, I thought we were talking about something that Natalie might have done that, or something Misty might have done to get Natalie so mad at her. Maybe that's not on the table.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Anyway, either way, whatever.
Where did Misty, or not Misty, where did Natalie get her postcard? Was it at the rehab or at her storage facility?
I mean, I'm assuming the rehab because she comes back to New Jersey with the postcard.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I'm at least assuming that much.
One thing that I thought was weird that I noticed on a rewatch yesterday was that Misty mentioned that they came in an envelope from like an internet site, but none of them seem to have that envelope.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that means anything or, why would you throw that away? Wouldn't you keep that as part of the evidence?
That's like the most important part if you're looking for like, fingerprints or forensics or whatever. I don't know.
Tracing anything,
right? That's interesting.
I think going back to, you can't count Misty Quigley out because she seems to have like a response for everything. Like, oh, don't worry about that. It was this, or
right.
She's always around. She's always around when something culty or fishy is going on. She is always present every single time.
Yeah, definitely. God, we could probably have like a 4-hour show just on Misty.
I agree.
It seems to me that there's sort of a hint about Misty's involvement in the present in the cult when we look at the glimpses we're shown of the Cannibal Council and the Antler Queen. Like, she seems to clearly be portrayed as like their helper or right hand woman. Like, she's the one who carries the tray, she's the one who gives the nod for them to drain the victim. I think that's sort of a clue as to what's going to be happening with her in real life. Like, there was a thread I read the other day on Facebook that suggested that Misty actually was involved in Javi's death. Like, she intentionally went out there with Nat, and she goes outside right before the police officer shows up, suggesting that maybe she made the call for him to come so that they were both in jail when Javi's death happened, so that they have, so that she has an alibi, but maybe she had something to do with what happened. And also, she knows, she seems to know exactly where they're going to find Javi. Like, they go, they just drive right up to the exact spot where he is.
Oh, Travis.
Yeah.
We all know exactly what you meant. Yeah. Like, no big deal. But yeah, those are all really solid points. Like, it all tied together, like, too nicely for the timing of that to all work out like it did. Like, it's very suspect. Or sus, as the kids are saying.
Yeah. I think she's sort of their right-hand woman. And she, maybe she did send the postcards so that she could get the group together leading up to the moment at the end of season one.
Yes.
So that we kind of know where everyone is, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely so many possibilities. It's like, it's crazy how many different scenarios there are, and we just don't know anything, you know? Gosh, like, season two cannot get here fast enough.
They really like to give us just a little bit, just enough to spin lots of theories, not enough to actually know anything.
Very successful mystery box format.
Yes.
100%. Do we have any more commentary on the postcards?
Just the message on the postcard too. Wish you were here. Where is here? Where is that? Is Lottie running this cult out in the wilderness where they were stranded, or is it a different location? I think it's a different location. Now, I know everybody says that Adam has nothing to do with the cult and all that, but one thing that happens in the show is just so suspect to me. When he asks Shauna if she wants to go to a cabin in the Poconos.
Yes.
Why would you ask someone who you knew had been stranded in the wilderness for almost 2 years if they want to go hang out in the middle of the woods for a weekend? Like, what makes you think that she would want to do that?
It's crazy. And he has like the mountain range tattoo on his back, which is very intentional, because we know, you know, that's not a tattoo he has in real life. So why are they going to spend all that time in wardrobe and makeup putting that tattoo on? Like, there's a connection, I feel like, with the mountain tattoo, the Pocono thing. You're right. Yes. Like, that is the last place you would ever invite somebody to go to. Like, it's insane that would even come up.
It makes no sense, like, especially because he knew what she went through. Like, we know he knew what she went through. He looked her up. He had that Skin in the Game book in his drawer. So he knew all the details. Like, that just, to me, I was like, why would you ever even suggest such a thing to somebody like that?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes more sense. Failure. Packed to go.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the postcards. That is definitely a hot button topic. Emily, would you like to touch on your other topic quickly? The conversation between Misty and Jessica?
Sure. This is the conversation that they have right before Misty is going to go to the reunion. They're talking about Misty getting a PR team and all that jazz. But there's one line in particular that really just sticks out to me, and it is, no one should have to go through what we went through. And I mean, we were just kids. I mean, innocence. And of course, when we came back, we couldn't get help. We couldn't betray the team. But it's time to face the truth, no matter how much it hurts, so that everyone can begin to heal. What exactly does she mean by when we came back, we couldn't get help? That to me just really stuck out, because couldn't get help for what? I have like two possibilities that I think it could mean. Maybe they meant like, they couldn't get psychological help when they got back. They couldn't get help from counseling, therapy, all that, because they made a pact that nobody was allowed to know what happened when they were out there. And maybe they were afraid that like legal repercussions could come of it too, if they really were killing their friends. But the one that I think is more likely is that they actually left someone behind on purpose. They left someone in the wilderness on purpose for some reason. And it makes the most sense that it would be Lottie if they were, if they were really trying to stop her, if she really does go full blown crazy. The only way that they thought that they could be rescued was if they left her behind. So, I mean, that's what I think she meant by that. But I just thought that conversation was very telling for many reasons, because Misty's facial expressions in the conversation are so interesting too. They are like, it's almost like she looks disappointed in a way when she's talking to Jessica. Like she probably, whenever anybody brings up their time in the wilderness, they always want to know if they ate each other. That's always the first that's always the first question. And it's probably so like, they're probably just so tired of hearing that. But Misty's facial expressions also to me showed that maybe Jessica was on the right track. Maybe Jessica was right in what she was saying, because she just seemed like concerned too. Like her facial expressions were just, they were just so strange.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about that is I actually kind of had the opposite reaction to her interpretation of how Jessica received her talking about that. And it, based on her facial expressions, like after Jessica said, "Don't you ate each other, right?"
Yeah.
Misty's face.
Yes.
She just got so quiet. Her face just said so much. And I almost felt like she was thinking, oh, she doesn't know anything. I can't get anything from her. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to interpret it, but that's kind of how I saw it. Maybe she was just keeping her alive to find out information about Travis.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, when Jessica said that, it triggered her to think that she's completely useless to her.
And also, if Misty was planning on killing her this entire time, why did she even entertain that conversation with her? Why go through this spiel of like, oh, I'm going to get a PR team, I'm going to make a movie about myself, blah, 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 if you knew your end game was just to kill her? Because I genuinely feel like Misty saw Jessica as a threat to the adult Yellow Jackets, and she felt like that threat needed to be neutralized at all costs. So there was no way that Jessica was going to get out of there alive.
No.
There was no way. If she wouldn't have poisoned her cigarettes, she would have killed her some other way. But I just thought it was so strange that you even go through all this. Like, was it just a game of cat and mouse for her? Like playing with her food before she eats it kind of thing?
Watching the rat drown, like it's a metaphor for that, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yeah. And naming your bird Caligula.
Yeah.
Notorious torturer tyrant rules.
Yes.
You have a comment, Maria?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think part of it is what Kelly just said, that I think maybe she wasn't gonna kill her until she realized she had no use for her. And then she was also just trying to be kind of nice and make conversation, so that way Jessica wouldn't be, you know, Jessica was obviously really tired, she just wanted her cigarettes. So like Misty was trying to like keep her like not, you know, like keep her off her toes. Like, so she wasn't thinking, oh, this woman's going to kill me. She was just like, I'm going to get out of here, I'm finally free. So she was just trying to make light of the situation. Like, oh, it's not a huge deal that I just kept you here for a week. We're friends.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. Like I'm going to be your client. Like, this has all been fun.
Yes.
Hey, move in. Let's be roomies.
Oh my God. I mean, Emily, those are both really great topics and insights and all that. So thank you for sharing those. The postcards especially, like that's an answer that hopefully we're gonna get pretty early in season two. I mean, that one's been there's so many answers we want, but I think we can all agree the postcards would be nice to solve that, right?
Yes.
You actually just ran a poll in your Facebook discussion group about which of the plot points are people most excited to see resolved in season two. And would you like to tell us what the options were and then which one won?
The options were who kidnapped Natalie, who sent the postcards and why, what happens after Jackie's death, the fallout from that, what happens to Shauna's baby, and who the fuck is Lottie Matthews? And the two with the most votes were what happens after Jackie's death and what happens to Shauna's baby. I think what happens to Shauna's baby actually was the winner, if you want to call it a winner.
Yeah, yeah. Winner, winner, baby dinner. Yeah. All right. Well, Emily, seriously, thank you again for your topics. That is fantastic. I've got the Yellow Jackets discussion group link here in the banner if you're watching. So if you're a fan and you have not joined the Facebook discussion group for Yellow Jackets yet, like, what are you doing? Get over join the group. Yes. We're all there. So much fun. And, you know, we'll continue all the conversations in there as well. So we will now move on to Elizabeth.
Yeah, excuse me, allergy season here. Oh. So how many people think Misty is a serial killer?
And strong possibility.
Yeah, yes. I think there's a possibility.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Jessica is not her first victim.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She's got her serial killer cork board, her serial killer basement.
VHSs. Let's not forget, like, Misery and all, like, the crazy movies she's got down there, too.
Yeah. Well, I think she takes a lot of inspiration from, oh, man, what was that? Misery.
Misery. Yeah.
Yep. What was her name, though?
Annie Wilkes.
Annie Wilkes.
Annie Wilkes. Yes. I think Annie Wilkes is something of a role model for Misty.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
And how you take care of your victims. She's got the chains. She's got the rubber gloves. She's got the industrial jumpsuit. She's got the knowledge of the special kind of cleaning equipment that you don't go and buy from a hardware store. You source another way so you don't leave a paper trail.
What is it? 60% of serial killers get caught buying cleaning supplies. I forget what the exact number was she gave, but she gave us the
stats.
Yeah.
It's 12%.
12%. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Enough for her to be worried about it.
Yeah.
She's an expert in corpse disposal.
Yeah, she is. Put that on the resume.
And she has a shovel in her trunk.
And she has access to a crematorium.
Yeah.
Yes, right? She does.
Easiest body disposal ever. Like,
yeah.
She's just so comfortable at the presence of a corpse, like making jokes about it, and
it's her comfort zone.
Yeah,
the corpse comfort
I feel like
zone.
Comfortable is an understatement. She was overjoyed.
Yeah.
She was thrilled. Just when want to help us get rid of a body. Well, it wasn't her joke. Like, oh, you need to get rid of a body, and when they're like, yeah, actually. She lit up. She's just like, goody goody.
She's
like, finally, somebody's like recognizing my skills and calling me in here, you know? I
mean, we actually subtitled that episode Misty's Big Break.
Seriously. I mean, I have a little side point off of that, which is even though she's an expert in disposing of a corpse, and she says with some authority, torsos are useless. Are they actually useless with an elaborate back tattoo?
Right.
Wouldn't that be a great good identifying point. Feature?
Cut that tattoo off, right? Like, if you're already disposing of limbs, like, why not cut the tattoo off too?
Just
like,
skin him. Yeah. I mean, Shauna's good with a knife.
I think
that tattoo is going to get them in some big trouble.
I think so too.
Or it has potential to get them in big trouble.
It's going to lead the authorities straight to them.
They didn't even check. Like, they didn't even look at his body to make sure that there were no, like, identifying markers or anything. Like, when they were doing what they did. Yeah.
How did Misty let that go? Like, how was her attention? Like, she should have been really, like, right on top of that, right?
Yeah, definitely. You would think so. I mean, she's really smart. You would like.
She's really smart, but I think the core conflict in her character is she's been left out a lot, and she really, really desperately wants to be included. And I feel perhaps in that instance that just her excitement of once again being valuable, you know, for the first time since In the Woods in 96. Once again, being valuable and needed, she was too excited to actually have a thorough grip on the situation.
That makes sense.
Because, yeah, you know, I just want the gang to like me. I want to be included. That's a huge undercurrent, maybe not even an undercurrent.
Yeah, yeah, it's almost an overarching theme. I mean, from the beginning, you know, I mean, she's always wanted to fit in and seems like she'll do whatever it takes.
Well, watching rats die in your pool is not one way to do it.
No, not great.
So, you know, my other one is who's Pit Girl? And who are the members of the Cannibal Council?
They've
come to be popularly called. We know from the reveal at the end of Pilot that Misty is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We also know there's 8 of them because they show that you can count them.
Yeah.
Yes. So who are the 8?
I mean, the animal tie-in, right? Like, there's a rabbit, you know, like we've got to assume that that's Shauna, you know, I mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. I realize that.
I'm also super curious as to, sorry, Maria, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Oh, I was just gonna say, I'm fairly positive Shauna is there because she's the only one who seems to have the skills to like cut a human up and, you know, hit their neck. And whoever, when the girl is hanging from the tree, that person knows what they're doing. And then Misty made that comment. Natalie made that comment in Adam's apartment, like, oh, do you still remember how to do this? And she was she goes, yeah, I do. It's like riding a fucked up bicycle.
Yeah, I love that quote.
I like that one. You know what? Real quick, I do want to add, I think that the person at the edge of the pit, I'm pretty sure that's Natalie.
I was wondering who it was. That was like one of my biggest questions. Who is looking down into that pit?
Yep. Was it the shoes?
And this is actually something that I want to do a separate episode on because there's so much to talk about. But I don't know how many of you read the original Pilot script.
Yeah.
I did.
They refer to the hunter as being the one standing at the edge of the pit. And, you know, Natalie's kind of like the hunter of the group. So I'm just making that assumption based on that. I mean, it could, you know, maybe not even mean anything, but that's just what I'm going with.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they've also made it a point in season 1 to make it clear that Natalie is the hunter. Like Travis helps her, but it's Natalie.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the other ones were that they called out?
It was the
shaman.
Shaman, which was Lottie.
Right,
and then the overseer, which is Misty. And that's, it was just those three. And then they referred to everyone else as the acolytes.
So kind of back to Pit Girl. We know she's wearing the heart-shaped necklace, or as it's come to be called in a lot of kind of literary podcasts, Chekhov's necklace.
Yeah.
Yes.
It always
Yeah.
It seems like it's even though it was said to be good luck.
Not good luck.
Yeah.
It's like a marker for death. I mean, it's so prevalent from like the very beginning and it's, you know, weaved in, like it definitely has a significance. And it does seem like it's the marker for the next person to go. Although we did see Shauna wearing it, I believe, in one of the episodes. And obviously, you know, she was fine, but I don't know.
Yeah, and then and then she gives it back to Jackie, and Jackie passes away.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that in season 2 we see. I think it's going to be Shauna that takes it off, but somebody takes off that necklace, and they either put it away somewhere or somebody puts it on. And what is the journey of this necklace?
Shauna to take it.
I'm so curious to watch how it goes from Jackie to Pit Girl, like how that process works.
Right. That
who
transition.
Gets it in between, right? Yes. Like, and do the people who get it in between die or do they make it out? So, I mean.
And how do they frame, like, okay, you're going to wear this necklace. Like, how do they even like approach it, like to get the person to even put it on?
And at one point you'd think they'd want to all like stay as far the fuck away from that necklace as possible. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, Jackie wore that when she died. Like, hey, maybe you should not be wearing the necklace. I don't know.
Yeah.
But,
And it's not just the necklace, right? It isn't the Pit Girl wearing Laura Lee's dress or nightgown. I thought I read that on Reddit somewhere. It so it's like twofold. It. Yeah. So
it's hard to tell because it's really kind of dirty.
Yeah.
It's been out there for a while.
Yeah, it's pretty well trashed.
I'm pretty sure it is. So it's, you know, it must be a thing, like, basically whoever died, like, wearing the items belonging to the dead people.
But the way the Pit Girl thing is, it's like they're, like, hunting her. So they decided, you know, you're the next one. But, yeah, that's a good point. Because if, assuming Pit Girl knows what the ritual is, why would you be okay with that? And I'm sure this is what they'll explain, but you know, if they're like, okay, you're next, like, hell no, I'm also not.
how did they even dig that pit? Like, that's another thing I'm super curious about.
It's really deep.
Right, like, was it there already? Maybe. And if so, why? Like, why would the pit be there? I mean,
could
you know,
the hunter have dug
the hunter
that
in the cabin?
Yeah,
that's possible. I mean, it's, you know, it's a good way to catch
animals.
Certain prey. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There's an interesting podcast, Really Important Fictional Things. They address a lot of pop culture stuff, and they did a few episodes on Yellow Jackets, and they propose the theory that Jackie does end up being eaten. I mean, she's conveniently frozen. This is frozen dinner, folks.
Yeah.
So she's kept fresh. And then the heart-shaped necklace, you know, gross. The heart-shaped necklace is on whoever will be sacrificed for food next. And it could be that Laura Lee's dress is also, like, sacrificial victim garb.
Hmm. Yeah. I think, now that I'm thinking about it, that I'm sure that, I don't remember, but I'm sure that nightgown probably had a lot of blood on it afterwards. I wonder if, you know, if Pit Girl might have been the first one hunted down, and then maybe whoever it is, maybe something of hers gets worn by the next person.
Hmm.
I definitely think that's a possibility.
Me too.
I'm not so sure they would have jumped to eating Jackie so fast, because they had just killed that bear, and bears have a lot of meat. Even with the amount of people they have in the cabin, I feel like that would have lasted them quite a while. Although Jackie's body could have been preserved in snow for quite some time, just thinking back to, like,
frozen,
you know, that crash in the Andes and how they eventually turned to that. Maybe. But it's also sort of hinted the prayer that they have for the bear. Like, they say he gave his life so that the rest of us could survive. That's sort of like foreshadowing for a member of the team to give their life, however involuntarily. Like, maybe they put the necklace on while they're sleeping, and then everyone knows, and you put the necklace on and you know to start running.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point.
I like that's that. Terrifying.
Yeah, very, very possible. You know, and for the longest time, I actually thought it could be a premonition that Lottie was having, and Lottie was the Pit Girl, partly because of the nightgown
and the hair, the long dark hair.
Yeah.
That's the one she was baptized in, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I thought maybe she, like, wore it to feel closer to Laura Lee, you know, like she wore her dress in the Doom Coming episode. But there was so much, like, it seemed like when Natalie was meditating, it seemed like she was remembering this stuff. So, yeah. But yeah, I have so many thoughts on this.
So many
Pit
thoughts
Girl really does look like Lottie. Like, when I rewatched recently, she looks so much like Lottie. She has the same movements as her. Like, she, yeah.
Who do you all think is Pit Girl? Do you have a guess? I go back and forth between Ari and one of the red shirts that we haven't met yet.
Yeah, like Yellow Jackets number 4 or something, which would make sense. But also, like, Mari, I mean, the looks, you know, like, that was where initially, like, that was my first guess, like, when I was first watching. I'm like, oh, it's got to be Mari, right? Or Lottie. But then I was like, no, Lottie's the cult person. So, you know, but I like Kelly's point about the premonition and, you know, maybe it was her. I don't know. But I think for me, Mari would be my number one.
I think so.
Yeah. They also, when you see Misty standing there, like when she pulls the hood off of her face, mm-hmm. you can see underneath she's wearing Mari's windbreaker jacket, which I thought was very telling.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Why would Mari would never let Misty use anything of hers? Let's be right.
No.
Never.
They all share, but there's no way that Mari's letting her wear that jacket.
Over her dead body.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I thought that was a clue.
Yeah, that's a great observation. I love that. And it also kind of, Mari seemed to kind of idolize Jackie a little bit. So she might have, maybe Shauna gave Mari, took the necklace off and gave it to Mari, you know, because she I don't know. Or maybe Mari took it because she was so she was such a Jackie fan, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I think Shauna will have a lot of guilt after the Jackie death. So I could see her giving it to Mari, thinking I don't deserve this. I was a bad friend.
Oh, yeah.
And then giving it to Mari. I hadn't thought about that before, but that would make sense. I know Jackie meant a lot to you, Mari. Here's her necklace.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Do we have any more commentary on the heart necklace, Pit Girl, Cannibal Council, or shall we move on to Kim?
I think we're good.
All right. Sounds good. So Kim, tell us about your first topic.
Okay. So I actually kind of want to talk about whether or not Ty might have supernatural abilities similar to Lottie. So we see lots of flashbacks or a few flashbacks to her childhood when her grandma's dying and she sees the no-eyed man. And then the no-eyed man also appears later during her speech where she initially was going to step down and then changed her mind and decided to stay in the race. I'm sort of wondering if maybe it's also a hereditary ability because her grandma, of course, sees him. Ty sees him. And I think her son also sees him. I don't think all of his drawings are just of the bad one, like Ty, Ty's second personality. I think he sees the no-eyed man because we see a picture in the window that looks a lot like the no-eyed man with the long hair and his eyes blacked out. So, yeah. Well, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I know there's a theory going around that the no-eyed man follows Thaisa around, and it was because of Thaisa that the grandmother, if you take Thaisa out of the picture, maybe the grandmother wouldn't have seen the no-eyed man. It's really curious. I don't understand why Thaisa is so comfortable seeing him. Like, she just pretty much ignores him.
Well, but maybe that's why she's so troubled, because she does ignore him. She doesn't accept it, because we're seeing Lottie's kind of accepting that she kind of sees things, she knows things about the forest, and then Thaisa is way against that. She's just a really logical person, so maybe that is the issue, and that's what's led to Ty's double personality, because she can't accept that.
Complete denial.
Yeah.
She's in denial. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
That's why she's so staunchly atheist, against any possibility of supernatural things going on, because she's repressing that side of herself because she's fearful of it. But maybe she starts to become more connected to it in the woods, and that's where the second personality is sort of starting to come out.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also interesting to note that when she was giving her speech, everything changed when she saw the word spill.
Yes.
And on the card. And that's, I think that's pretty much right when he popped up too.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And
yeah.
Spill is what Lottie says in French in the last ceremony. She says, spill the blubber.
Yeah.
Jackie also says it to Shauna when they're having the conversation about Shauna being pregnant before she tells Jackie that she's
spill.
Pregnant.
Spill, yes.
Yeah. Oh,
there's got to be some significance.
The double meaning.
Yes.
As part of Ty's second personality, I interpret it that she's making sacrifices to get wins in her life. Is that how you guys interpreted that?
Yeah, after totally. Seeing that altar, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, Adam dies and then she, you know, she
mysteriously has a heart there, right? Oh, and the election. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about Adam being a part of it. I was just thinking their poor dog.
Oh, well, what, yeah, the
biscuit?
Dog.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah. I was so upset by that.
Oh, yeah, God.
She's really behind in the polls until after that. And then suddenly she wins out of nowhere. Like, she was preparing her concession speech.
Yeah.
Oh, you're totally right. And, like, Biscuit's been missing for a couple of days. So it is. So is it Adam's heart? That's on. What is the organ that's in?
I think it's Biscuit's heart.
Is it Biscuit's heart? Okay. Yeah. Okay. I had this like background thing in my mind, thinking it was his, but maybe not. They probably kept it in his torso and didn't remove his organs.
Yeah. I think the creators said that it was Biscuit's.
Oh, they did. Okay. My bad.
Oh, okay.
I think the justice for Biscuit.
I think that's our next t-shirt, Melanie.
Justice for Biscuit, hashtag justice for Biscuit. I love that.
I need there to be consequences.
Absolutely. Oh my God.
I also think that the night that you see Thaisa out sitting in that tree, when she like wakes up, comes to, realizes what she's doing, that bite mark that you see on her hand, I think that bite mark was from Biscuit. I think that's the night that she killed the dog.
Yeah.
That could be. It looked like a human bite, though. Like, I don't know. When I saw it, I was like, you know, it looks like it could be human. But you know what? It would make a lot more sense for it to be Biscuit, obviously.
I've seen speculation that she bit herself in order to, like, wake herself up in a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's always possible, too.
So I saw some speculation, which I don't think I believe this, but it's like she bit herself to try to taste flesh or something, because
a lot of that going around.
Yeah.
Just to eat human flesh again.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, she was eating the dirt. Like, you know, it could be like a nutrient, like she was eating the dirt, like the pica or whatever they call it. Maybe it is some kind of like, you know, deficiency that her body feels or something. That's interesting. I never thought about the taste of flesh biting herself. Like, so there's two reasons she could have bit herself then.
Yeah.
I hope we get a flashback of what happened the night of the wolf attack.
Yeah, same.
Like before she woke up in the tree.
Yeah. Like, there's some missing stuff. Like, there's some gaps that need to be filled in there, right?
There's a lot missing.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That would be really useful to have.
And then that involved another necklace, right? That had the, was it? The bear bone or the bone or whatever. Yeah.
That was the only bone from the deer that didn't burn. That had the maggots inside of it.
So weird.
Well, and why did Thaisa take it from Van?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that, because I kind of felt after that, I'm like, this is your fault. You took the necklace away from her.
Right. Maybe that's a marker of safety, and the heart is like a marker of death. Maybe like each necklace plays like a good and bad, right?
I don't know. Well, symbolism. Yeah, no, totally. And because Van is wearing it at the end of season one. Yeah. And I also was realizing Van has had a couple like near death experiences, because before the wolf attack, she almost died on the plane because Jackie and Shauna couldn't get her out. So I do think that there's something special about Van, and Lottie seems to know that and is also trying to keep her.
She has nine lives. Like, she literally has nine lives. They cannot kill her, but she does keep having these incidents. Like, how did she not die when the wolf ate her face? Like, seriously.
Yeah. You know, also, she couldn't get her oxygen mask out when they're on the plane. Jackie, who kind of, you know, doesn't seem like the type who would do it, just instinctively pushed her out of the way when Coralie started driving the plane. And she didn't die. Like, I thought for sure after she survived the wolf attack, I thought she was
infection.
Gonna be
dead. Yeah.
But, yeah. Infection, like too much blood loss, whatever. And she also healed insanely well.
Yeah, those scars were like so minimal for how much damage was done to her face.
Like plastic surgery in the woods with like, you know, rough tools. I know, you know, there were some Girl Scouts or whatever, but I'm sorry, Girl Scouts does not train you for that level of like medical intervention. Like, I was a Girl Scout, I did not learn how to sew faces. So
really?
I know, surprising, right?
Little known fact, Akilah's babysitter was actually Leatherface. And
now we know
that he taught her everything she knows.
Oh my God.
Well, and that Van also escaped death when, without checking her pulse or making sure she's dead or anything, they
light
put
her
on
fire.
Funeral pyre and light her on fire, that she didn't die. She's got open wounds.
Yep.
She's on burning wood. There's, Lord knows, the infection risk of the smoke going into the open wounds and, and on and on.
Like, how did they not check her pulse, though? Just saying. Unless it was so weak it was undetectable. But, like, I would confirm death before burning somebody.
She's not moving. Yeah. Better burn her.
Well, maybe she did actually die for a minute, and that's why she saw those forms floating around the others, and then she comes back to life.
Yeah.
Cannot
put that out of the realm.
And she did say that, like, in that conversation with Taissa, she says, like, I was definitely not living. She says something like that she was in between living and death.
Right.
God, they just keep bringing her back. It's unbelievable. I cannot wait to see who they cast for Adult Van, by the way.
Oh my goodness.
Waiting on that casting news.
Julia Stiles. That's
my top pick.
Yep. Really? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that makes sense.
I think Drew Barrymore.
Oh my God, I would love her. I feel like she's too busy, so I don't want to get my hopes up for that.
But. Drew Barrymore played the actress's mom on Santa Clarita Diet, and I love that show. It was so silly. And
I like that show too.
It's such a good show.
I like that. Okay, so Kim, we covered your first topic. Really quick, do you want to just touch upon a couple points for your second topic?
Sure. So my other one was how each of the main characters deals with trauma in like the real world from what happened in the woods. And what I find so interesting is how differently each of them manages it. Like, clearly Natalie is not managing it well. She's in and out of rehab. She's struggling with addiction, but she's also very open about how she's struggling. Mm-hmm. Shauna is also sort of on the edge, handling it a bit better. She's able to keep some semblance of a real life going, but she's very shut off from her family members. Like, she's not really connected to her husband. She's not connected to her daughter at all. Like, Callie on Halloween, she tries to bring up the topic with her mom. Like, she's on ecstasy. She's a little bit more emotional than usual. And Shauna just like shuts her right down when she's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's okay. And she's like, no, you're not. And Shauna's like, no, we're not talking about this. And then she describes her experience to Nat as all of the life and color, I think, has gone out of the world. All the life has gone out of the world. So clearly she's depressed. And then we have Ty, who seems like she's managing things really well. But then we actually come to find out halfway through the season, she has this second personality that comes out when she's going through really high stress events. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and then of course, Travis, like, he just completely shuts himself off from the world and refuses to talk to any of the other survivors, totally is cut off from the real world. So that's just part of what makes this show so interesting, is how real all the characters are. Like, they look real, their experiences are real, and their experiences are also different and unique to each of them. I just really enjoy that part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the way that they portray the trauma, because it is very real. We see them go through it, and and you know, none of these characters are perfect, and I think that's really, you know, important for the story, is that piece of the trauma and overcoming it and how it affects people. I mean, we all have traumas of all different kinds, and to see them unravel in these different ways is really fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, I always think, whenever I think about the trauma, how, you know, each character's trauma and how they deal with it. I also think about Handmaid's Tale did a really great job with that last season, with basically showcasing the differences and how everybody's dealing with trauma differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And but it's a little more extreme. Like, I think Yellowjackets is a bit more subtle with it. But yeah, it's definitely, it's interesting. I like that they kind of all have their own ways of coping. But yeah, it's, you know, Shauna breaking down in the shower, was really striking, because to me that just kind of like emphasized the point that she's just numb. Like,
right.
That's so how she deals with everything.
And so is Ty.
Yeah.
Yep.
because she starts crying for like a split second and then she's like, nope, gotta bring it back in. She does not allow herself to feel anything involving what happened to them out there. Yeah,
definitely. I think with Shauna too, like, I think she's just become so numb to everything in her life. You know, she's not close with her daughter. She's not close with Jeff. So Adam was this breath of fresh air. Mm-hmm. And then she kind of fucks that up. So then that breakdown in the shower, it's like, you know, like that's probably the first time she's really felt like she was living in 20 years or 25 years, the time she spent with him, you know.
That's so true.
So I think that was part of her breakdown.
Yeah. That breakdown was hard to watch too. I mean, it really struck me, you know, I was like emotional over it.
It was such a contrast, you know?
Yep.
Melanie Lynskey's, you know, just an amazing actor. So
she's so good. I hope she gets best actress. Oh my God.
Me too.
Definitely. You know, it's also interesting. I hope we find out soon whether or not Ella Purnell is coming back.
Yeah.
Because she seems to, you know, she seems to kind of be Shauna's conscience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if she suddenly stops like having this inner conversation with Jackie, you know, things could get really dark.
Right. I mean, she could be like that, her little, you know, her little angel telling her and guiding her and keeping her on track, right?
Like Jiminy Cricket.
Exactly. And we see her, you know, Jackie, a few times. We see her on the bridge with Adam, you know, we see her at the Halloween party. So, I mean, it's definitely an ongoing thing. So that is interesting. Do we know, have they said if she's coming back or is that still kind of shrouded in mystery?
She said at the Critics' Choice Awards, like back in March, she said, I can't say anything, but you may see me. So okay. I'm kind of, maybe they'll bring her back in the same sense as like you said, flashbacks. Like she's Shauna. Yeah. And I'm so curious to see if they'll show us the first time that Shauna ever sees her that way. Yeah. Because that would be so interesting.
Yeah.
Because surely it's been ongoing for the past 25 years.
Like, did it start right when they got back? Did it start 10 years later? I mean, the timing of that is interesting, you know. That's a good point.
I would think that maybe it started while they were still in the woods.
I think so.
That would be my guess too.
Because they still have so long, right? They were out there 18 months and it's only been, I think, 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, and it's also interesting to note that Shauna, I mean, when they had Travis tied up and were about to kill him, Shauna was starting to kind of come out of it a little bit. And she was seeing Travis. She was seeing like glimpses of Travis mixed in with seeing the deer. But Jackie's the one who came up and stopped them, right?
Natalie and Jackie, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think Jackie really kind of held Shauna together a little bit. And that's why she ends up kind of being your conscience. So I'm hoping that I kind of am hoping she's still around. Well, I love Ella Purnell, but I am hoping she's still around just for that reason and because it would be nice to see her again. But another part of me is like, I kind of hope she doesn't. Because I'd like to see how dark things can get.
Right. And they've got to get much darker before they get any lighter, I would assume. So,
yeah.
Well, Jackie's not just like the guide for Shauna. She is for the whole team. Like, she's the one that pulls it together when they're all fighting at that party in the woods. And then there's the conversation between her and the coach where the coach says, when things get hard, you need to be the one to like bring everyone together. And she tries to do that throughout their time in the woods. And she's just failing because they're pulling away from her. And I think her death is really important because that's like that guide, morality guide is going to be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the death of like societal norms for them out there. Like all that goes out the window when Jackie and Laura Lee's gone too. So it's like their religious conscience is gone and their societal norms conscious are, they're both gone. So now they're ready to go full crazy.
And what was the I forget, what was the translation of the finale episode title? I think
It's something about the glory of the world.
Yeah, like
I can't remember exactly.
It's kind of like an apocalyptic kind of sounding. Gosh, I'm trying to remember, but yeah, it's interesting that that was the title, you know, in the episode. Thus passes the glory of the world.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's the episode where Jackie dies. So that's kind of, you know.
Yeah. To your point, Emily, of like, that's when the societal norms go out the window. It's like the world is falling apart, you know? So that's a really clever observation. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Kim, do we have any other points you'd like to touch upon for either topic?
I don't think so.
Okay. No. All right. So Maria, you are up.
Hi. Okay. So kind of a similar to what we were just talking about, one of the topics I'm really interested in discussing is like, what is the direct aftermath of Jackie's death? You know, the last scene we see, Shauna is absolutely, you know, she's absolutely lost it. She seems really upset and everybody's just staring in disbelief. Like they can't realize, you know, they don't, they can't believe what's just happened.
Yeah.
And then we also see that Van and Misty kind of, they're going to follow Lottie. They have that ceremony with the bear heart. So I can start, I mean, I think obviously Jackie's death, like we just said, is going to be like the collapse of their society. She's the only thing that was kind of keeping them still to their New Jersey life. Cause she at one point mentions, you know, she's thinking about her freshman sorority rush and all this stuff. And Shauna says, oh, I'm not thinking about that at all. You know? So like you guys said, their tie to home, I think, is gone at this point, and they are going to choose factions and sides of what they want to do. I think that Natalie and Travis, they seem to be the rational ones so far. I think they're going to try to keep the team together, but I don't know if they're going to want to go along with what Lottie and Van and Misty are doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, like we said earlier, I think Misty is just following Lottie because she just wants to fit in, and she's like, Lottie's got a direction, I'm going to go in it. But yeah, so I don't know what you guys think. What will happen? And what will happen like between Thaisa and Van? Are they going to go separate directions?
Ooh, that is something I'm dying to know. As close as they are now, like, how does that translate into a potential adult relationship or enemyship or, you know, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think things might get sour between them.
I do too.
I think
they're going to be on opposing teams. I think Van's going to be Team Lottie and Thaisa is going to be Team Natalie or whoever, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's, gosh. I think I had a thought, but I forgot. Go ahead.
I'm also wondering because I personally don't think they're going to start doing the killing ritual until the second winter.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to eat Jackie. Yeah. I think they're going to have the bear, and I think what might happen is Ben, that's the coach's name, right?
Mm-hmm. Like
he might live on a bit longer, but I think he's going to be the next to go. And maybe he dies like at the beginning of the next winter. And then they say, like you guys said, well, okay, he's already dead. Let's just go for it.
Right. But I think that his death is going to be the climax of season two.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't see him making it out of the wilderness. I feel like
the longer
they go on, the more dead weight he becomes physically and
literally.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's amazing he even survived. Like, again, with like the infection in the wilderness and like the axe and cutting off his leg. Like, I mean, it's a little Van-esque there, right? Like, he's getting this second chance when really, like, there's no way he would have survived, like some suspension of disbelief. But I do think you're right. Like, there's no feasible way. I don't think he's going to make it out. He doesn't have any power over them anymore.
Like the moment that Laura Lee said, "What are you going to do to stop me?" is when his power started waning over them.
Yeah.
And when Jackie and Shauna are getting into that argument and Lottie's like, "Stay out of it, coach." And he listens.
Yeah.
He's no longer the adult or the authority figure. He's lost all of his cred, you know? I mean,
I think he might be afraid of them at a certain point.
Especially Misty. Yeah. I mean, he should be afraid of them. Especially Misty.
I have a theory that Misty ends up killing him, and that might have something to do with why Natalie came back to New Jersey to hunt her down because she just automatically assumed that she was behind stuff because it showed them getting close.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I have a feeling.
Well, and I don't know, it'll be interesting because like we read in the pilot script, the hunter, there's signs that Natalie is a part of the like cannibalistic council, but then also that she's not. And then we know Thaisa says at one point, she's the one who got us out. Like, yeah. And I'm like forever grateful to her that. So like, did Natalie and Travis, like, did they lead an expedition at some point to get out? Like, what did they do to get them out and how involved were they? Natalie does say something in the first episode about how we did these terrible things. So I think she does feel guilt about something like, yeah.
She tells Lottie, or she tries. Oh. She tries to, because we know that adult Lottie is alive and kicking. But
yeah. But then why would Lottie try to save her from suicide?
That's a good question.
So many questions.
So many.
Oh my God. The directions that the multiple directions that any topic can take is just.
Yeah, it's like.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We need one of those boards, like in It's Always Sunny in South Philadelphia.
Or like Misty's.
Oh my God, that's funny. Maria, what is your next topic?
So the other topic I had, and we touched upon this earlier, is for the adult survivors, like, so who do you think they are, and then who would you cast as the adult ones? So I mentioned I would pick Drew Barrymore for Van. I would absolutely love that. I think Lottie survives and is going to be a really important character. So there have been a few on Reddit and some articles. I was thinking Maggie Q. I think she would be great for it.
Fun.
Some people on Reddit mentioned Shannon Sossaman. Yes. I don't even know if she's still acting.
Well, if you look at Instagram, like some of the cast have followed her and she's followed them. So if you're looking at like who's following who, like
that is very important.
Very strong possibility about Shannon. And Kelly called that very early on. That was like Kelly's top pick early on. And then Kelly picked up on the following on Instagram. So if I was putting money on it, I'd go Shannon Sossaman 100%.
Because they're about to start filming.
Yes. She would be such a good choice. Mm-hmm. Like, she would be so perfect.
Oh, good. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she would. She really would.
And then I couldn't think of anyone for Akila. I think Akila survives. I think she's too smart, has all the skills. And then I do think Javi survives.
Me too.
Oh, interesting. Me too. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So big on Javi surviving because I think that Javi is how Travis's bank account was emptied.
It has to be because unless it's a family member, who else would have had the access unless it was some elaborate cult scheme, you know?
Yeah. And I think Javi becomes Shauna's like living conscience. Like I think Jackie will be there in the background, but she has taken kind of like a big sister role to him. She gave him a journal and pen.
Yeah.
And I think he might be the one if she kind of falls into this cult-like behavior, he might be the one that ends up getting her out.
Right. They did such a good job making us think that Adam was Javi for a little while. I know that, you know, that's been debunked or whatever, but just, again, like props to the writers just for creating all these different possibilities like that. You know, I mean, I love it. I love the mystery. I love it.
Yeah. It's like they sat around and they're like, let's get people to start a theory and make them think that they came up with it.
I read in an interview recently that they actually toyed with the idea of making Adam Hobby, but they decided against it for some reason or another.
I'm so glad that they didn't do that. Like that Adam was just Adam. Like I think that's still out there that he could be working with Lottie or the cult or whatever because of the whole Poconos thing and the mountain tattoo, but I'm glad that he's not Javi.
Yeah. You know, I do want to say to your point, for Akila, I'm hoping she survives, and I think Adina Porter
was going to say
perfect.
That. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
She would be great.
She's like, I think she's a few years older, but I mean, she's not that much older. She's you know, she's young enough to.
She can pull it off.
Yeah,
easy.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. She looks a lot like her, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
I love her. She's so good.
So good.
She is.
Yeah.
Yes. Does anybody else have any insights or anything on the adult casting and who's alive, who's not? Any other commentary on that?
Well, I know earlier, Kelly, you said that you would love to see Julia Stiles as Van, and I'm right there with you. I think that would be like the perfect choice. Their facial structure is really similar too.
Oh, she would be a dream Van. Like, I love Julia Stiles, like the looks, the like demeanor. I feel like that's a total win. You know what? That reminds me. I should go check her Instagram and see if there's any interesting follows going on there. Do some citizen detectiving. It's funny about the citizen detectives too, because we've all become citizen detectives because of this show. Like, I love that. That's like a little, you know, subplot there.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, you know, I think Lauren Ambrose or Thora Birch would also be good candidates.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Lauren Ambrose would be great.
Oh, yeah,
so good. I love her.
I love Six Feet Under. It's like one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, same.
Julia Stiles just does the like pissed off, like, I don't know. She does that look so well, like from 10 Things I Hate About You. So she would be really good.
And the one-liners, like Van's got the good one-liners too. So like I can picture Julia Stiles delivering those in a very Van manner. Yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
So we've covered all the fan topics. Kelly, do we each want to cover something, or do you want to just kind of like wrap it up with some final thoughts? I know we've covered a lot of our theories throughout our episodes, so totally.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to just a couple of interesting things that most of you might have caught this, but I think that there's probably a lot of people out there that did not catch this. And if you're listening versus watching, I apologize because I'm about to bring up a screen grab here. But did anybody notice this from the season one trailer?
Yes.
Yeah.
I really would like to know how much of adult Travis was cut out, why they cut him out, why he looked like he was so panicked running out of his house. And it was at nighttime, so it was probably right before he was killed. You know, there's
that look on his face is like very concerning. Like, he looks frightened or like, you know, in a rush.
I have a theory that he was killed while Natalie and Misty were locked up in jail. Like, that's when his actual murder happened.
Yep. Yes, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So after they went to his house.
Yes. I think he was still alive when they got up there. And if Lottie is all tied into this, like, and if Misty is somehow tied to Lottie, then maybe Misty was the one that called the police so that they would get in trouble, so that they would have more time to execute this plan of sacrificing Travis.
But it's a sacrifice. I was just thinking, why would they want to kill Travis? Okay.
Right. Wasn't the setup to that similar to like the seance setup that they had in the cabin too? Like, there's some definite like crossovers with those two scenes. Yes.
So if they sacrifice Travis though, then like, what are they trying to gain?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it could be, you know, it could be Thaisa's election campaign. Cause I mean, she wouldn't bail them out.
Yeah.
You know, she
So Thaisa's a part of all this too.
Maybe it's all a political play, right? Like, maybe they're doing the sacrifice to get like more power for Thaisa for some like undercurrents of like political something that's,
the cult's gonna take over the world.
Like a cult pack, you know, like pack, like trying to get whatever, I don't know. Maybe Thaisa for president someday, and it's like a beginning of the cycle. I don't know.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Misty points out the wax smudges on the ground and
how it looks like
in the seance they place those candles in the shape of the symbol, just like they did where Travis was killed. And they also I thought it was very striking that in the seance they use a pendulum. Shauna attaches the knife to a string, and it almost looks like Travis is supposed to be that pendulum in that setup.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Totally you are does. Brilliant. Like, PhD in yellow jacketology. Oh my God. Yeah,
that's some like, that's excellent. Brilliant.
But, you know, and one more. Oh, sorry. What was that, Elizabeth?
That's some excellent citizen detective work.
Like A-plus citizen detectiving. And then, like, how did Misty piece that together about, like, the photographs? Like, I thought that was, like, I understand being a citizen detective, but that was, like, next level. Like, you need to have, so like, fast. Some, like, how can you put that together?
Well, if you already know.
You already know. Yeah. Like, that's the only reason. Like, you know, I think when we did that episode, like, I did Misty's, like, most likely to, like, win at Survivor, like, a puzzle or something. Because that was, to me, like, an unsolvable puzzle unless she knew. Like, she has to have known.
She always has the answers. And it's a bit, it's almost getting a bit too, like, well, what do you mean? Like, nobody really questions her. They just kind of are like, well, that's a bit out there. But, yeah, okay.
Oh, Mr. fucking Quigley, what is she?
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like
bugger off, you know?
She's essentially responsible for Natalie even finding Travis, too, because if Misty never met up with Natalie, how would Natalie have found his phone number? How would they have found where he was? Like, Misty messes with Natalie's car in order to be able to go with her on this trip.
Yes.
He's the one that finds the note in the trash. Like, she's the one that finds the pay stub, that finds his location as to where he works.
She's the puppet master.
Yeah, she has all the answers.
It's like she already knows.
Yeah.
It is. And you know what's funny is she's nominated for Best Supporting Actress, but, like, really, she could be, like, the ringleader of all of this and, like, the head of everything. And, you know, like, I understand why they did her for supporting, but, like, in my mind, Christina Ricci is, like, the star of the show. Oh, I mean, I love Melanie Lynskey, too, but, like, I mean, she is, like, Misty is, like, the central... For me, like the central.
She's my favorite. She's
I mean,
my
how can you not love her? I love Misty. Like, I just got a robot vacuum and I wanted to name it Misty Quigley, but I went with Zach Morris instead, like Zach Morris. Zach
Morris, I love whatever. It.
But I was like trying to come up with the Yellow Jackets, like Misty name. But anyway, I digress.
I'm so happy she got that they both got nominations. But I had read somewhere before the nominations came out that they were going to put the adult characters forward for the main category. And the teenagers forward for supporting. And I thought that was a really good way to do it. I mean, obviously that's not what they did, but I agree with you.
I think they started out that way. Cause I think they originally submitted Christina Ricci for leading actress and then changed it.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a theory that they did that so that she would be, cause I think they might feel like she might be the most likely candidate to actually win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
You don't want to split the votes, right?
So, yeah,
I agree.
Like how with, is it Euphoria? Oh, no, with White Lotus. Like they're all nominated in the same category.
Yep.
I think that diminishes your chances of winning, right? For I mean, sure, or maybe it makes it better, but only one's going to win. So I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that.
But yeah, hopefully Melanie and Christina win though.
That would be amazing. I hope so. We will have a giant StreamYard party. Podcast.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Yes, that would be so fun.
Yes, absolutely. Kelly, did you have any other talking points that you wanted to bring up?
Just more, you know, just a couple of FYI things regarding the pilot script, which I know some of you said you've read. There were some really interesting things that were taken out. There was another teacher named Kat Wheeler.
Yeah.
She was the one who was in love with Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually went with them on the trip. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember, like, I know she threw herself at Ben at some point. They also showed Ben with his boyfriend.
Oh.
So they revealed in the first episode that he had a boyfriend. And also, Callie makes mention of her older sister Mandy
in the pilot.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think those were the big ones that I took away from that. But yeah. So that's interesting. I honestly think that they just scrapped her having an older sister altogether because I think you would think she would have come up by now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it was the Woods baby or whatever. I don't know, but. You know, we assume that the baby dies in the woods, so it's highly unlikely that child made it out.
Yeah. I think originally they probably meant for the Woods baby to survive, and that was Mandy. And then just maybe they decided it was too unlikely. And just
that would be so crazy.
Like the trauma from that poor baby. Oh my God. Yeah. I guess they're maybe too young, you know, to realize how their life started. But like,
did anyone else fail to do the math for the first couple episodes and think Callie was the Woods baby for a little bit until like, no, 25 minus like 17 doesn't work?
Yeah, a lot of people think about that.
Do you all think that Jeff knows the truth as to what happened to that baby?
Yeah,
there was a baby.
The journals. I mean, if it was in the journals, and we know that he read the journals, like he must.
If she wrote it in the journals, that's the other. Yeah,
if she wrote it,
curious about. Yeah. I feel like it's possible that after Jackie read her journals, she might have been a little bit more cautious as to what she chose to write down in case anybody else were to read it.
Right. Yeah. And maybe nobody, like maybe no people outside of who was in the woods even knew that she was pregnant and had a baby. Like that's a possibility too. I mean, if she had the baby, it died, she came back. And if she didn't write about it in her journal or didn't tell Jeff, not even Jeff would know that she was pregnant with his baby. So that's a possibility, I guess.
Yeah.
Which would be such a like, not burden, but such a like thing to carry alone. Like just the trauma of that and not being able to talk about it with anyone.
Which explains even more, you know, why Shauna is so impacted and numb and all that stuff. Like, I mean, wow.
Why imagine she's so disaffected.
Also, why she's so like closed off to Callie. Like, trouble connecting with the second child because she lost her first, maybe.
I think Callie reminds her a lot of Jackie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think also there's probably some resentment for the fact that Callie has this kind of normal upbringing and Shauna missed out on so much in the last of her teen years.
And that she doesn't like appreciate it.
Exactly.
Takes
it for granted, really.
That's very possible. You know, or it could just, I also think there's just the whole thing of her just being numb and disconnected from everything, too.
Yeah,
that's her way of coping with what she went through.
She writes it down and then it's gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
definitely. Ugh,
goodness. All right. You know, Kelly, do you have any more talking points? I think that was your last one, or do you have another?
No, that was it for me.
Excellent. And, you know, I was just going to touch quickly on another theory. I go down all these rabbit holes and had discovered the one about prion disease. Have any of you guys read that in Reddit before?
Yeah.
So prion disease is something that's like transmitted from animals to humans, and it can cause it's like some proteins get like folded in a weird way. I know I'm not a scientist, but it affects your brain. Like neurologically, it can cause like dementia. It can be dormant for like 15 to 50 years. So there's been these theories put out there that, you know, the cannibalism perhaps caused, you know, the girls or even eating some of the animals could have caused the girls to develop this prion disease, which would, you know, maybe impact like some of the hallucinations and that sort of thing. However, we do know that, you know, Thaisa was seeing things before the woods and some, you know, Lottie had, you know, some stuff before the woods. So, you know, just another kind of theory to throw out there. There's been the Wendigo theory, which is, you know, a Native American legend, you know, where, or, you know, delusions where they're all, you know, having the same delusions from, you know, one of these things could be tainted water, could be animals. So, you know, it's just interesting. You know, they describe the show as cannibals, but there's also a theory that, you know, there's no cannibalism, you know? Yeah. So again, just in general, there are so many different things to explore and rabbit holes. And we could literally spend hours doing this. And, you know, I mean, I think we'll probably do another fan panel. I hope other fans are interested in joining us and that you girls would want to come back.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's going to be so much to talk about in season two. I think like all of our heads are going to explode and, you know, I just hope we start getting answers like early in the season. I don't want to have to wait until like episode 5 before, you know, we start getting some of these answers. I hope they just like come out with a bang, you know, we've got like 5 seasons potentially here. So, you know, they could develop things slowly. They could, You know, I'm interested to see the pacing of the different reveals for things. And, you know, hopefully we're not waiting until like season four to figure out like what the fuck happened to Shauna's baby, right? I mean, I cannot wait that long.
I'm also super curious to find out what that note meant that Travis left. Yes. Telling that she was right. Like, what does that mean?
Right about what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he saying, tell Natalie that Natalie was right? Or was he saying, tell Natalie that someone else was right about something?
Yeah, that's I hadn't thought about it that way. That's interesting.
So I wonder if Nat's lying then when Misty says, do you know what this means? And she goes, I don't. But maybe she does. But she's just thinking, I'm not going to trust Misty with this.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher, definitely. I do hope they reveal that. That seems like something that they would probably just sit on and make us think that they forgot about it. And then it just comes up like
reveal,
third or fourth season.
I would love to see the writer's room. Like, are they all just sitting there like laughing, like, haha, like we fooled them again? Or did they not even intend for some of these things to become, you know, these spiraling conspiracy theories? And they just kind of got lucky with like an awesome fan base and fandom that's like so invested in the show, you know?
Yeah.
So it's so many interesting things from top to bottom.
Yeah. You know, one thing that I actually meant to bring up that I forgot to earlier is we got an interesting email from a fan a little while back that I just wanted to read.
Oh, yes.
His name is Jason, and he wrote, I've had the theory from the start that the underground tunnels from Lottie's baptism vision are related to a dam at the lake. Hydroelectric dams use giant magnetic turbines to convert the water to electricity. These turbines could have screwed up the compass, and some kind of equipment discharge could have discolored the water. Wow. These tunnels could have housed the cult far before the girls got there. I have obsessed over the show and any content discussing it. So that's kind of an interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Underground because, mine. They could take shelter there. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe that's where Javi is.
And you know what? He fell into the mine.
Seriously.
If they split into two groups, then they're not all going to stay in the cabin. They need a secondary location for the other group to have shelter.
Yep.
Yeah. And for Javi to have survived that night, he has to have found shelter, or he would also, we don't know what's happened to Javi yet, but. It's interesting you said the magnetic thing because, at some point, doesn't Van's compass stop working?
Yeah.
And that's something when you're too close to big magnetic fields, I think, can happen.
And then the red lake.
The water. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is not normal. Like, there has to be some kind of scientific explanation, and that would really make sense. Yeah.
You know, after he sent that email, I actually started doing some Googling, and there are, underground mines in the Canadian Rockies. And there are some that I'm pretty sure I read that there's actually even a gold mine that still nobody has found, but there's all kinds of stuff underground.
So that's crazy. Definitely a possibility. I love the fan theories. I love that particular fan theory. I love all the fan theories. I just love the show. I love all the fan. I just love it. I love Yellow Jackets. Oh my God.
Yeah. it's been how many months since it's been off the show, and I'm still going down rabbit holes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. All I mean, time. I could spend hours. Yeah. Reddit is oh my God. It's a time
gold
suck.
Mine for theories.
I learned about
gold mine the other day. yes, it's learning all so, different things.
It's been so fun. Design. Talking to people about it because my husband and I only recently watched it, and we binged it in 3 days, and then we only have one other friend who's watched it, so I keep telling all my girlfriends, I'm like, you have to watch the show, it's so good.
Same. I feel like with the Emmy buzz, and you know, once the Emmys come and it's getting more buzz, I think everybody's going to be watching it. You know, I think Showtime is popular, but not the most popular, you know, streamer, so it's nice to see, you know, Paramount Plus had played a couple free episodes. You know, it's hopefully we'll pick up more.
I think that's been really smart of Showtime to, they're obviously putting a lot of money towards the, you know, for their consideration for the Emmys and like publicizing it more and stuff. And that's a smart move because hopefully when season two starts, there'll be more buzz for it. And
absolutely. You know, I was working Comic-Con. I actually worked a Lord of the Rings Amazon Prime event, like a cast panel there this weekend. I didn't have a pass into the main hall, so I couldn't go see the Showtime booth, but there were planes flying over. So I happened to like look out the window and I saw Laura Lee is flying this plane and I'm like, oh my God, like I was dying. I saw another fan had posted one like, hello, Misty fucking Quigley something or other. So I thought it was really cool. I loved like seeing yellow jackets flying in the air at Comic-Con. I just thought that was so cool. I'm surprised they didn't have, you know, a cast panel, but I would imagine moving forward after this year and it gains more popularity, like they have to be there next year. And I know I will be there next year too. So.
Yeah. I might need to make a trip out there too.
Yes. Oh my God.
I might too.
I thought I would see some Antler Queen costumes too. I did not, but I was like definitely on the lookout. I was thinking, you know,
next year,
some Antler Queens next year. It has to be. Absolutely.
Do we know when, I know that they said season two starts filming in August. Have they said anything about when it's going to come out?
I don't think so.
Not definitive, but I'd say January, February.
They said they're not going to be done filming until February, so I wouldn't count on it being any sooner than like, I know spring. They said they're aiming for a 2022 premiere, but that's like really tight.
Oh, that's too aggressive. Like I work in production. I do not think there's any chance they'll get that on the air before
January.
The end of the year. Yeah, no chance. Yeah. Maybe January, February. And, you know, they're still wrapping up some filming and airing the first couple, but February seems like it would make the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Can I ask everyone really quickly, who's each of your favorite character? Kim, why don't we, Kim's off camera for a second. So why don't, you're back. So Kim, how about you? Who's your favorite character?
Okay, sorry. I was just plugging in my computer. I would say probably Coach Ben. I just have such a soft spot for him. Like, he's been through a lot, and he's really trying to, like, keep things together out there. And I don't know. I just really like him.
Cool. Yeah. Emily, what about you?
Well, I would have to say I have two because, like, I have a favorite adult and I have a favorite teen, too. So I would definitely say Misty is my favorite adult by far.
Yes.
And I have to go with Shauna as my favorite teenager. I don't know why. I'm just, like, super drawn to her character for some reason. And Sophie Nalice is outstanding. Like, her performance
incredible.
Has been
seriously
so amazing. Like, that abortion scene, she really, really, like, that was really intense to watch. They did a phenomenal job with that.
Can I just say, like, that
scene? Yeah.
One thing that really impresses me with Sophie Nalice is the way she speaks. Like, she's completely transformed her voice. Like, she, I mean, she doesn't really sound like, she sounds very different normally. And she really like picked up Melanie Lynskey's like speech mannerisms and like her way of speaking so well.
Yep.
It's kind of amazing.
I think the same thing for teenage Nat, and I'm with Emily. Like, my favorite adult is Misty for sure, but my favorite teen I think is Nat because of how well she's adapted to who like Juliette Lewis is. I mean, her mannerisms, her speech, like I love her character as well, but I just love just how in touch those two adult and teen characters are. Like, the casting is just, They're all so talented. So anyway, sorry to jump you there, but
No, definitely. Maria, what about you?
So my favorite, I think, is Shauna. And I think it's because of Sophia Nalice. I think the way she's playing that character and just the way they've written it, it just like takes me back to being in high school. And it's like, you have this bond to your friends and you want to be loyal to your friends. But then there's also like, about what you want, you know, you don't want to just follow what your friends do, and that like conflict, like she obviously like likes Jeff, like, and but she can't because what's her name, oh my gosh, Jackie's claimed him, but Jackie doesn't even like him, you know, so it's like that whole inner conflict. I think Shauna, and then I also love teen Natalie. I think that casting was so good. I'd never seen that actress before, and I think she's doing such a great job at playing it.
Incredible.
I also like the juxtaposition with that, like, Natalie's really rational in the forest. Like, she's kind of the voice of reason, but But then out in the real world as an adult, she's kind of lost it. She doesn't have a way. She admits she doesn't have a direction. So it goes back to like what happened to Natalie that she lost that reason and, you know, how it all affected her. So those
she wasn't even drinking in the woods. Like when she was with Coach Ben, she offered him the booze and she didn't even want any.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess maybe she held it together for so long. And then when she got back to the real world, she like couldn't anymore.
Fell apart.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be really interesting to watch that journey and see how the characters go with that.
Definitely. For sure. Yep. Elizabeth, what about you?
Yeah, I'm an adult Shauna stan. I think Melanie Lynskey is just, I mean, if anyone has saw Candy, she's just such a
capable
actress. She's brilliant and nuanced in everything she does. So, and also the first couple of episodes, you almost see things through her eyes. It's through her point of view. So that's my favorite adult, although there's a lot of close calls, including Misty fucking Quigley.
Oh my God, MFQ. I love MFQ.
Yes.
You have to. But then Teen Nat, you know, there's a BuzzFeed quiz you can take, which Yellow Jacket's character are you? And surprisingly, I got Nat. I didn't do as many drugs as that in high school. I like her hair. I like her clothes. I like her taste in music.
Yeah.
But Teen Nat, she's like, she doesn't get a lot of credit for this, but she's kind of the moral compass for the girls when they're in New Jersey. And when Ty is coming up with her plan to win the game. And
totally agree.
Yeah. Nat's always like, why can't everyone just relax and get along? Why does everyone have to be so mean to each other? And she's kind of the punk rock anti-mean girl.
Yes, that's a great title. Punk rock anti-mean girl. That could actually be like the name of a band or song.
It's like Manic Pixie Dream Girl.
Yeah. Like you're supposed to, you think like she doesn't give a fuck, but she does give a fuck. Like she actually cares a lot.
Many fucks.
Really does.
She gives many fucks. Yeah.
And that's whenever they're trying to keep that alley girl out, she says that. She's like, why don't we just play like a team? Like, it's worked this whole time. Like, why would we, you know, change from that? So that's a really good point, Elizabeth.
Yes.
No, exactly. And she also, you know, another reason why she could have cracked and required rehab when she got back is she took a lot of people's issues under her wing. Travis's grief over losing his dad. She was just there for people and emotionally there for people, and she was taking on for a teenage girl a lot.
Absolutely.
Definitely,
for sure.
Natalie is Misty, I kind of put in her own category because she's just, I mean, she's just the queen.
She belongs there.
but Natalie is my favorite character, hands down, just for all of those reasons, like teen and adult. Because she's just, I'm always drawn to the traumatized heart of gold, authentic character. You know, that's the character that always gets me.
Nice.
Natalie definitely fills that role.
Yeah.
Yay. Well, I've just got to say, I think that we nailed coverage of our first Yellow Jackets fan panel.
Yay.
you know, thank you to each and every one of you for joining us and for your insights. I mean, talking about Yellow Jackets, I feel like this is like a therapy group for all of us, you know, especially because we've still got like months to wait until season 2 is coming out. So
we need this.
We do.
Yeah,
we
thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. You know, like we said, we want to do more of these and, you know, involve more fans and, you know, bring some of you girls back. So, you know, stay tuned. If you are listening or watching for the first time, you can follow us. We are the Antler Queens on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.com/TheAntlerQueens. And with that, we're going to do our sign off and I will say 3 and we will do it. All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Buzz off.
off.
Buzz off.
All right. Yay. All right. Well, Antler Queens out. Thank you all so much. And we'll be seeing you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.